the joy that I experienced this morning just from being here. I've been coming here now for 23 years, and it's become a very intricate part of my life. I look forward to it every fall. And when I left here last year, I left in tears because I thought that that would be my last journey here. I'm crowding 83 now, and things aren't the way they used to be. So I didn't think I'd ever be back. So you must know the joy I experienced today in being able to pass this way one more time, to see your familiar faces and your warm handshakes. Now, I'm a year older, and you will probably notice that my voice is a little lower than it was. And that all comes with years. But in heart and spirit, I'm 1 year older and a lot farther down the road. Amen. What a joy. Miss Lowther is doing very well. She turned 90 last January, so she's crowding 91. And still feisty, and still canning, raising a garden and everything. And her eyesight is very bad. I have to set all the dials and everything for canning and all, but there's no quit to Miss Lowther. And only God knows how much I appreciate that gracious lady. She said to me the other day, "Bobby, do you think I could get on a horse again?" She's rode with me through the years up until about 5 years ago. And so I'm determined. I'm going to get to a little stool. And I'm going to put her on a horse again and take her picture. Amen. Bless your heart. Children, would you stand with me, please, to reverence the reading of the Word. Turning your Bible to the book of Genesis. How much I have appreciated Pastor's lesson this morning in Sunday school and the songs that have been sung. Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, that was a long time ago, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning for the first day. Now turn a couple of pages to chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And right there, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all of our heart for the privilege to pass this way again. And Lord, we pray that you will reach into the resources of this old heart and the things that thou hast taught us along the way, and that you will bring out, Father, the things that you want said here today. Father, we pray that each one of us will be able to look back at the end of every day and see that we have learned something during that day that has enriched our lives, increased our faith, and sent us on our way, rejoicing in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Lord, anoint every heart that is here today to receive, and once again, this old heart of mine to share. And you already know we're all going to step aside and give you praise, honor, and all glory for all that you do. For your name alone is worthy. In the lovely name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, we make this prayer. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. That is the one thing that hasn't changed. So our thought this morning is the image and likeness of God. God created man, the Bible makes it clear, in his own image, in his own likeness. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So I'm looking into the faces of a group of people that have been created in the very image and likeness of God. Now we accept that, don't we? Well, we know that's true. But do we always understand what we know to be true? So sometimes it helps us to have a little better understanding as to who we are. So we are in the image and the likeness of God, and that we know. But then I read to you in chapter 5 that Adam begat a son in his likeness, in his image. And you're sitting there in the image and the likeness of Adam. So then we ask ourselves the question, now, am I in the image and likeness of God, or I am in the image and the likeness of Adam? Or is it possible that I could be in the image and likeness of both God and Adam? And the truth is, we're both. We are in the image of God and the image of Adam. And you can prove that. Go home and look in the mirror. And you have a physical body. So where did you get your physical body? Who from? Does God have a body? If we're in the image and the likeness of God, you have a body. Does God have a body? No, he doesn't. The Bible says that God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God doesn't have a body. He is spirit. So you got your body, and I got mine from Adam. We're members of the Adamic race. Adam's genes are in your body, And that's why we have one. Now, when God created man, he created us an earthly people. He created this earth first and then brought it to the state that we could survive. And then on the sixth day, he created you and I. He created us an earthly people, and that's why we have an earthly body, so that we can relate to the world, to the earth that is around us. And it's as simple as that. He didn't create us. And this is going to disappoint you. He didn't create us a heavenly people. He created us an earthly people. And when our soul and spirit departs this earth, we're going to heaven. But we're not going to be up there forever, because we're not a heavenly people. We're coming back, and we're going to be the inhabitants of a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now let's look a little deeper. God doesn't have a body because God is spirit, but you do. In the beginning, the divine Trinity exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the dawn of the beginning, it was the work of God the Father to create matter. Everything in existence is made out of matter. The cross, the table, the candles, all made out of matter. God created matter. Well, what did he create it out of? There was nothing in existence except God. In the beginning, God. And there was nothing else. Why, he created all matter out of the substance of his own existence. You remember that. And God is the eternal God. God never had a beginning, and God will never have an ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting God. And he created matter. And the word create means to bring forth out of nothing. So what does that tell you? Back to the science book that you mentioned this morning. Once in a while, those boys get things right. And here's what the science book says about that matter that God created. Here's what the science book says about it. The science says matter can neither be created nor destroyed. That's heavy. Well, if you can't create it and you can't destroy it, where on earth did it come from? God created the heavens and the earth. He created matter. Now you keep that thought in mind, because we're going to go around to it again directly. God the Son, who is Jesus, it was his work in the dawn of creation to form all forms that should have life. God the Son took the matter that God the Father created and he formed it. And then God the Holy Spirit energized those forms such as should have life. In other words, he breathed life into those forms. That's what the Bible means when there laid Adam. But God breathed into him the breath of life, and then he became a living soul. So that's the work of the divine Trinity in the very beginning, the dawn of creation. Now then, we're not in the image and likeness of God because we have a physical body. because he doesn't have one. So that doesn't make us in the image and likeness of God. So what does? All right, let's look at this. Let's look at the attributes of God. And what are they? One of the first attributes of God is that God is omnipotent. Now that means that God is all-powerful. He can stand any man here on your head in that back corner back there if he was minded to. God is all-powerful. So powerful that he brought order out of chaos. The earth was void and without form, and God brought order out of chaos. And I just read to you a while ago that he brought light out of darkness. Absolute darkness and absolute light. God is all powerful. Are you? Well, now you admitted to that. I didn't admit it to you for you now, but I agree with you. Our power is limited, but God isn't. Then there's another one. God is omnipresent. Now that means that God is everywhere. I mean God is everywhere at the same time. Everywhere. David discovered that. David said, though I take the wings of the morning and flee to the uttermost parts of the earth, ha ha, he was already there. He beat me there. Though I make my bed in hell, he's already there. He beat me there. His knowledge is there. God is everywhere. Well, can you be everywhere? I'll bet you have problems being in more places at the same time than one. You can only be in one place at a time. But God is everywhere at the same time. And do you know why? Because God is a spirit. And a spirit can be everywhere at the same time. And you and I can. God is infinite in as much as he has all wisdom and knowledge. He is omniscient. God knows everything, children. He knows the end from the beginning. And that's what encourages my heart. Lord, you knew all about it before I did. And since the day that you were about 18 years old, when you discovered that you really didn't know it all, you understand God knows everything. Do you? And the answer is no, I don't. So what does that tell us, Brother Bobby? Well, that tells us that the attributes of God are not included in being in the image and the likeness of God. Your physical body, we've excluded that. The attributes, we've excluded that. So in what way then are you in the image and likeness of God? Now we get to the heart of the message. Is there someone who would volunteer to get me a drink of water? Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jones. I'm awfully dry. So now let's look at God. We're in his image and in his likeness. What does it mean? It means that God is eternal. Now here we go. And this is heavy. God is eternal. God can never cease to exist. He is the eternal God. So to be in the image and likeness of God, you have to have a part of eternity built in you. There has to be something in you that can never die. Never die. Never cease to exist. Because God can't cease to exist. And if you're in His image and likeness, there's something in you that can never cease to exist. You know what that means? That means you're going to be around for a long, long time. Now, when did you start your eternal journey? Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Excuse me. My heart goes out sincerely to that rich man and Lazarus. Amen. So what is it in you, and when did it begin? To answer that, to give us a little further understanding, to answer that, let's look at angels first. Do you believe in angels? Oh, joyful, joyful. Amen, how they have taken care of this old preacher in my lifetime. And ashamed of myself at the way I overwork them. Children, I should do better. I shouldn't take the chances that I do. But look at this. Did angels always exist? No. No. You remember? 10 minutes ago, there was nothing but God. There was a moment in time when God created angels. And He created angels to be His assistants. So there was a moment when angels did not exist, and then there was a moment when they did exist. Now some of those angels fell. You remember Lucifer fell and led a host of angels with him? And don't you find this interesting, that those angels who fell still exist while you're sitting in your seat? The Bible says those angels are reserved under chains of darkness against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. They still exist. And do you know why? Because they can never be destroyed. Nothing that God has created can ever be destroyed. That's what the science book said, and we quoted it to you. Now let me quote to you what this dear old book has to say about the same thing. Now that's the way the science worded it. Let me tell you how Solomon worded the same eternal truth. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. For what is, has been. It's always existed. Preacher, you mean my car? Out there has always existed. It's always existed. But not as a car. But it's made out of the matter that God created in the beginning, the good earth. We just simply mined the ore, melted it down, designed your car special for you. And you have a car that has existed forever. Nothing new under the sun. For what is, has always been. And listen to him the second time. When he says, what God hath done is forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Saying exactly what the science book says, but the truth is, Solomon got to it first. And they just caught up. That's why angels cannot be destroyed. Why wouldn't it have been better for God when Lucifer fell from that state of purity and became what we know, the devil? Well, why didn't God just zap that boy in the very beginning? It would have saved us a lot of heartache. Why didn't God do that? Don't you think that God thought of it? And Him being all-knowing? Well, of course He did. God will not destroy anything that He created. It is created for eternity. And that's why you and I, in that awful day of judgment, will judge angels, because they rebelled against God, and you and I have agreed and joined God. So we will judge angels in that day. Keep it in your minds, children. Make it a law in your mind and heart to know that nothing that God has created can ever be destroyed. And that's why angels will never be destroyed. Satan will never be destroyed. He will be cast in, and the angels, into a lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. That's his end. Brother Bobby, what are you leading up to? I'm leading up to you. And that part in you that is in the image and likeness of God, and that is your spirit and your soul. Intangible spirit, and can never be destroyed. Your physical body, hear this, will go back to the dust of the earth. Dear heart, and I don't mean to be insulting, but the most of us here don't look like we did when we were 12 and 13. These old bodies of ours are slowly decaying. The wrinkles are getting a little deeper all the time. And then one day soon, we're going to lay this old shell to one side. But what then? That part of us that is in the image and the likeness of God that can never be destroyed will live on for time and all eternity. You can't die. Hear this, old man. You can't die. You will shed the shell, but the real you can never cease to exist. And why? Because God created your soul and spirit. And just as angels had a day when they started out, so you had a day when you started out. And you didn't know it. But from the very moment of conception in the body of your mama, God ordained that union. God ordained the process of reproduction. Follow Brother Bobby carefully now. So whether that union is legal or illegal, God ordained the process of reproduction. Legal or illegal, when two little microscopic cells came together and merged, God anointed with a soul and a spirit that can never, ever die. Now, you had nothing to do with that. You had nothing to do, children, with coming into this world. You didn't even give birth to yourself. It was the strength of your darling mother that brought you into this world. But the living God has made you responsible for how you leave it. The choice is yours. Here's what God said to the whole wide world. Come now. Sit down. Reason with me. And I'll make your sins as white as the snow. God's able to do that. And He gives you that choice. But that choice rests within your own breast. No one can make it for you now. You have to make it for yourself. So in view of the fact that you can never cease to exist, and eternity is forever, there's no coming back. There's no second chance. You must be born again. And that holds true today. So I wonder this morning, excuse me, if there's anyone here who has never yet made that conscious decision, preacher, I'm going to go with God. Never made that conscious decision. You know, this is your day, and this is your hour. And all it takes is just, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all it takes. You know, I'm glad that we don't have to come to an altar of prayer, Pastor, and beg and plead for God to save us. Because that's what He wants to do. The very moment you open that little heart's door and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. He will come in. He will change your heart. He will change your mind. He will change your direction. But the decision rests solely with you. In the image and the likeness of God. A part of God dwelling in the very hearts of the people that I'm looking into your faces right now and will live for time and eternity. We're going to stand. And I know your pastor